All right. Thank you, Nancy and the choir. Thanks for your presentation to the fathers and the choir singing song. Turn your radio on. Now you can turn your volume up on your headsets here. And let's see what the scripture tells us this morning. If we can get everything synchronized. All right. Again, happy Father's Day to you men. I think I got one slide in there. It does have stars on it, so how did I know that was going to be up there this morning? So, wonderful. All right, as we look at the scriptures this morning, it is Father's blessing, and as you see, it's going to be taken from Genesis 48, 8 through 16, where Israel, or Jacob, blessed Joseph's sons, and we see it was Ephraim and Manasseh. It was something that in the Old Testament, and it is today, we should present our blessings upon our children and let them know how much we love them and care for them. And it was a carrying on the heritage of generations to come. And this is an Old Testament practice. And we're going to see the significance of that, because in our day and time, fathers and mothers as parents need to carry on the tradition of that love and the heritage that they have in family members and generations to come. And it's always good as you see that this is generated and focused around the blessing from God as well. So if you will look with me, Genesis 48, beginning with verse 8. When Israel, and Israel is the same in the Hebrew word for Jacob, saw Joseph's son, he said, "Who are these?" Now, bear in mind, he knew them, he just couldn't see them very well. Jacob was up in age, and his eyesight was failing. So he was saying, "Who are these?" That's why he asked that question. In verse 9, there it is, verse 9. Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons whom God has given me here." And what Joseph was saying, children are a gift from God. So he said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Verse 10. Now the eyes of Jacob were so dim. There you go. They were dim from age that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them close to them, and he kissed them and he embraced them. Verse 11. Jacob said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your children as well." So God gave him the ability to be able to focus enough to see his grandchildren and his son Joseph. Verse 12. Then Joseph took them from his knees, and he bowed with his face to the ground. That's in reverence to God, first of all, and his father. In verse 13, Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand towards Israel, left, and Manasseh with his hand, left hand, towards Israel, or Jacob's right, and brought them close to him. But Jacob stretched out his right hand, and he laid it on their head of Ephraim, and who was a younger, and the left on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, although Manasseh was the firstborn. He blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, and the angels who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and may my name live on in them, and the names of my fathers, and Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." What a blessing. That a blessing. And what a heritage and a blessing that we can pass on, not only just to our children and grandchildren, but to any child that is starting out in life. You know, as I was reading, studying this passage of Scripture this week at camp, I was thinking about all the kids that we had there and just thinking all the blessings they were receiving. And these blessings, too, as they go back home, hopefully parents would be blessed, and their parents would bless them for being blessed as they made decisions and was able to go to camp. So here we see a blessing is desirable to every individual. Everybody likes to be blessed, right? You like to be blessed. I like to be blessed. And we are blessed, right? Especially by God. And children are blessed because they are a gift from God. And as we recognize that as parents, we can pass that gift on and bless them and bless others because God has blessed us. So the word paternal means fatherly, deriving from the Greek word pater or potter, which means father. That's the Greek word for it. So fatherly blessing or grandfatherly blessing is being said over Ephraim and Manasseh in this example. Also, paternal blessing was the most valuable heritage that the parents could bestow upon their children. And the children, it motivated them, and they realized that they were loved and they was appreciated. Even then, and the parents' goodwill and the blessings were regarded as the greatest happiness that child could receive. And from its earliest appearance in the Old Testament, blessing is revealed of a paternal or fatherly word. It's the gift of life. The gift of life. This parental blessings. Now, for a moment, let's look at the nature of the blessing in our passage of Scripture. But down in verse 10. We see that he brought his two sons to their grandfather, which was Jacob, to receive that blessing. Joseph conveyed the message of himself when he kissed and he hugged his sons. And that is needed in families. That lets your child know, yes, you are loved. You are appreciated. And the element of the embracing is important in relationship between a father and a child, for it conveys the message of acceptance. It conveys the message of love for the child as a person, and I would say even as an individual. It does. Now, we also see the element of the touch that it said, being demonstrated in verse 14. when Israel or Jacob placed his hand on each of the boy's head. That was showing love. That was showing the touch of welcoming, of an acceptance of them as a gift from God. And a father can demonstrate the vital element of a hug through playing games with his son, through the simple things of just doing things and being there for their kids. Several weeks ago, might have been months ago, I shared about Bill Gleiss. Bill Gleiss was a professional football player for the Cleveland Browns. He was Detroit before that. But I had the privilege of meeting Bill Gleiss when I was 13 years old at East Athens Baptist Church. He came and he spoke to our church. He spoke to the youth and so forth. And I realized then how God had anointed his life, not just as a professional football player, a tight end, but through his messages and his love and care and as he spoke to us. And I've kind of kept up with Bill Gleiss over the years as growing up and even in my adult age, because he organized this mission, evangelistic mission to especially jails and those kids that's less fortunate than anyone else. And he has written, or he wrote, he passed away in 2021, age of 86. But his legacy lives on. He wrote 23 books, and one of those being The Chaplains for Life, The Power of a Father's Blessing. And he said, there it is, there is a bubble of emptiness that appears in the soul of every boy or girl before the age of 6 or 7 if they don't hear the paternal blessings. And you know what? I witness that every time I go to church camp. I witness that this week. And it, so, you know, when I hear the boys and girls talk, and when they really get engaged in the worship, and while I'm preaching to them, they'll raise their hand to have a question. I will pause and listen to them because they have questions. They want to know about things in the scripture and so forth. But we got to give them the opportunity. For example, in the Bible, we see Jacob tricked his father Isaac into bestowing his blessing upon him instead of his brother Esau. And we read in Genesis 27:34, where Esau, that he cried out. He cried out with exceedingly great and bitter cry and said, "Bless me also, my father." And see, we should never show favoritism. Never, ever do that. And sometimes it's very easy to do that. But he cried out, "Bless me too, bless me." So our lives become full of anguish and bitterness without parents' blessings. Now, we may not go through a ritual like it shares here in the Old Testament, and that was a practice that he did. But just a common blessing of saying, "I love you," that's a blessing. "I'm proud of you," that's a blessing. That's something that they hear and they receive, and they know that they're appreciated and they're loved. The blessing from our parents is something that we all desire and desperately need, for without it, we are destined to a life of rebellion and problems. And our our jails and institutions are full of those like that who are rebellious and problems and ended up in jail. Now, The lack of blessing leads to spiritual problems. The lack of paternal blessings can result in many spiritual problems for children. All of us long to be accepted by others. Children long to be accepted. Even if they don't know you, they love to be accepted. And I may I say aloud, I don't care what other people think about me. I've heard that said before. However, deep inside, we all yearn for that affection and acceptance. And this is particularly true in relationship with parents. Children need that relationship, that blessing. So gaining and missing parental or paternal blessings has a profound effect on our lives and in our having our positive relationship with others. If we don't have a good relationship with parents or children, more than likely it's not going to be that well with others and as well. In fact, our relationship of our parents can and does affect our present and our future relationships. Again, I wanted to go back to evangelist Bill Glass, who visited hundreds and hundreds of prisons each year and had and found one characteristic of true in every prisoner that he met and he talked to with whom he had spoken. And in his books, as he Behind the Walls and Behind the Prison Walls, there was another book that he wrote. This is what he said. I would say there are many circumstances that causes criminology, but there is one thing that is always true. They always have a father problem. In his book, he explains in talking with inmates and so forth that it was because of home relationship, and most of the time it was with the father. Then the father's blessing has altogether to do with how a person turns out in life. Bill Glass witnesses, he noticed that as he did different kind of surveys and so forth and talked with inmates. Might not be that in every case, because everybody has a free will, everybody has a choice. You know, everybody who is raised in a Christian environment or a Christian home can take a wrong turn sometime and end up in problems. But in general, this is what Bill Glass is talking about. And then he says, can do all things right. Parents, he said, can do all the right things, but failing to bless their children will mean that their children either won't make it or will live to hate their parents or grow up weird and twisted inside. Now, that's something to think about, isn't it? If you have an opportunity to look up some of his books, this one, Behind the Walls, or the one about blessing your children, I encourage you to read those. Let's look at how to bestow a blessing on children. According to Bill Glass, it is beneficial for fathers and even mothers to bestow a blessing or tell them that you're blessed to have them as you're blessed to have them as your children. They need to hear that. And he tells us that we need to communicate three things to our children. Three things. One is, I love you, I bless you, and I think you're fantastic, love, value, and belonging. Those are the things that children love to hear. Over the years of working with children and in schools and the church and different things, they love to hear that. They love to hear, "I love you." And that can be demonstrated through both words and embracing or touch. "I bless you" can be shown through the entrusting your child with important tasks, showing that you believe he or she are competent and trustworthy to be able to do that. Now, before they can be able to do that, sometimes we just need to show them or set the example and say, "Hey, work with me on this." And then the other it is, "I think you're fantastic," can be demonstrated through the words and praise and by spending time with your child. Brenda and I, growing up, we attended almost all the games, more than me, because sometimes I was busy in church ministry and stuff. But I took a year out of seminary just so I could spend time with Kim and Sean, their last years in school. And that was Brenda's suggestion. She said, "You know, these are our last two, and you're so busy with school and church and everything else." And I said, "You're right." And I took her advice, and it was worth it. It was worth it. So we got to take that time to spend time and show them how much we appreciate. They might not always come back and say that back to you, but down deep in heart, I'm telling you, they know that and they do appreciate it. You can tell by their expressions. And Bill Glass sums it up by noting that there are three characteristics that should be a part of a blessing. Say it aloud. Say it unconditionally, and say it with feeling. Say it with feeling. That's very, very important. Now I want to close with this story. And it happened at camp this week. Thursday night, I told you there's like 23 children came for and 14 for salvation. And here I was standing up there by myself, all these kids up here. And so I said, "All right, counselors, pastors," there was two or three pastors there helping us this week. There was cabin leaders and so forth. But I'm in charge of all the worship services and everything that's spiritual there at the camp that week. So I called on them to come forth, and we went off to one side in the area where we eat, and most of them all came to my table. So I kind of spread them out, but I probably had 12 still at my table. So I just said, "Okay." At the end of the service, I had the, not knowing who was going to make a personal relationship or accept Jesus Christ, but I had them to pray that during the prayer and the closing prayer, and I didn't have to go back through that again. But all of them that was sitting in front of me had accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now I noticed one little girl right in front of me. I mean, she was weeping and crying the whole time. And I noticed that she was writing something on a piece of paper. I couldn't tell because she was across the table from me. And Janice, one of the counselor ladies, some of these girls was in her cabin. She was sitting there, and she looked at me, and she said, "She has something she wants to show you." So I looked at it, and at first it didn't really dawn on me what it was saying, but it come down to saying, as I read it, it says, "I have a hate list. I have a hate list." And my heart just sunk. And then she looked at me, she said, "Pastor Mike," she said, "I don't want to do that anymore." I don't want to do that anymore. And I said, you don't. You don't have to. You've been forgiven your sins, past, present, and future. You're free of your sin. You're free from that hate list. I said, I'm trying to think what her name was. I think it's Brianna. Brianna, I tell you what you do. Let's just take that piece of paper that you got that on. She didn't have the name, but she said, I have a hate list. I said, tear that out of your board, wad it up, and cast it from you. And I said, see that garbage can over there? I said, cast it over there. She wadded it up, walked over there, and threw it in there, and she walked back, and I could just see a change over her face. And she sat down. I said, are you okay? She said, yes, I'm good. I'm good. And that's all it took. That's all it took to just encourage her, let her know that she's loved, she's accepted, and God loves her, and He has forgiven her. And that has been cast from her. And now you can go back home, and whatever people has done you wrong, offended you, or whatever, you can go back and look at them in a different way, with love and acceptance. She agreed. It changed. She was changed. All of those kids were changed, sitting right there. See, that's what's so good about camp. That's why you just want to keep going back over and over and over. Because you see lives change, especially kids. And kids need that kind of care. They need that kind of acceptance. And sometimes camp's the only time they see that. Only church they ever see. But I wanted to close with that, because this being Father's Day, you know, we need to just go out of our way to make kids feel special. And they will in return thank you, and their lives will be different for it. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this day. We thank you for everything we witnessed it and have experienced. We thank you for the blessings of this week, both at camp and now here this morning, the baptism of Joel. And Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings, Lord, that you send our way. And we need to stop and say, Lord, I thank you. I count them one by one. I thank you for the blessings. And thank you for this being Father's Day. May this be one that we, all fathers, renew our relationship with you, renew our relationship with our family, our kids, and friends, and just anyone, Lord, that we need to renew our relationships and our future endeavors. Lord, whatever the decisions that maybe you've laid on each one of our hearts this morning, may we be willing to come forward and this altar and give you the praise for that. And thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious God, you're a forgiving God. And when we're saved, we know that we have an eternal home one of these days. Lord, thank you again for this service today, the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.